Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
You know, there's always opportunities, isn't there, when we face difficult times and difficult seasons to retreat and to back away. And that's something that we could have done in this season, isn't it? We could have chosen as a church just to stay back, to hold back and to retreat. But God's been so faithful to grow us. Like you heard Pastor Ken said, we've gone to double services here and at Belmont. We've added a campus in Scarborough, an online campus, which has been incredible. And also now we see Nations Church Bunbury. It's just absolutely incredible, the faithfulness of God in this time. So we can just, you know, just so sing his praises. And, you know, it's such a time to celebrate. But you've got to know that what God's doing in this house, what we're seeing that expansion, extension take place. If you're part of this church, whether it's just something you've decided to do today, perhaps, or you've been here for years, God wants to do that in you as well. That God wants to expand you. God wants to grow you. God wants to bring you in more and more into the expansion, the fruitfulness of his kingdom. That this is not just about the house, but it's also about you and your family and coming to know Jesus Christ and moving more and more in the things of God. And you know, one of the ways that we do that, we've been focusing over this time and lead up to Christmas about others, about reaching others for Jesus Christ and sharing his love with them. And you know, I don't know about you, but when I get that opportunity sometimes to say something to somebody that perhaps I haven't usually talked about this with, that I want to retreat. Does anybody here have that feeling sometimes that you kind of go, oh, I can feel God prompting me to pray for that person right now as I'm talking to them? I can feel God prompting me to talk to them about Jesus, but oh, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? How's that conversation going to go? How's it going to feel? How am I going to deal with that awkward silence that might come after I've made that comment or said that thing or encouraged them? And so we do sometimes want to retreat. Am I the only person who does that? No. Okay, great. I'm glad we're all on the same page here today. You know, that when we have those moments that there's something that can get the better of us, and that while we have an opportunity to share Jesus, we can choose to back down or walk away from that. And so can I suggest to you that sometimes in those moments that when we have that opportunity to share the gospel, to reach others, and yet we choose to turn away, that in that moment, what matters most to us is us, is how we feel or how it might turn out for us, but it doesn't matter nearly as much as what matters to God in that moment. That what matters most for God in that moment is that that person hears about Jesus Christ. What matters most to God in that moment is that that person has an opportunity to partner with God or step into relationship with him, or even just simply hear that Jesus loves them or that they can turn to him in prayer. This is what matters most to God. And so I want to share with you today a message that I've entitled, What Matters Most. And so today I want to share with you an account from Scripture about somebody who got a bit mixed up about what matters most. Somebody who decided to go with what mattered more to them than what mattered most to God. And that person is somebody many of us would know from Scripture. His name is Jonah. And many of us know the account of Jonah. Even if you haven't been to church much or read your Bible much, you probably heard about him, that he is this guy that God spoke to and said, I want you to go to this city called Nineveh. And when you get there, I want you to tell the people that if they don't turn their lives around, that they're going to end up destroyed, that they're heading for destruction. And Jonah doesn't want to go and tell them that because they're his enemies. And so who cares, right? They can just go and be destroyed and he's all okay with that. And so he gets on a boat and he goes in the opposite direction to that town of Nineveh. And we know how the story plays out. He ends up thrown into the sea because they faced a storm and get swallowed by a fish and then spat up on the shore again later after he's repented to God. And as he hits that ground, God says to him, I want you to go to Nineveh. And so he makes his way to Nineveh. He tells them the message that God's telling them, wanted to tell them. And the whole city turns its life around and comes back to God. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? But in that moment where you and I would be celebrating and praising God as we did today. Jonah does not celebrate. Jonah does not praise God, but he's actually like super disgusted at God for saving these people. What mattered most to God certainly did not matter most to Jonah. And we're going to pick this up from Jonah chapter 4. And it says this, it says, "This change of plans greatly upset Jonah and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. 'Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen.' The Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry about this?'" He's a bit dramatic, isn't he? "Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah." He's giving him a bit of a hard time, isn't he? "The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. 'Death is certainly better than living like this,' he exclaimed." Over the top. "Then God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?' 'Yet, yes,' Jonah retorted, 'even angry enough to die.' Then the Lord said, 'You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there.' Wow. 'It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" These people are what mattered most to God. These people are what mattered most to him. That they would find him, that they would come out of spiritual darkness into his marvelous light. That was what mattered most to God, but it's not what mattered most to Jonah. What mattered most to Jonah was that his enemies got what was coming to them. What mattered most to Jonah was that he was comfortable, that he had shade. He was more concerned about that plant than he was about the eternal destiny of 120,000 people in that city. He was more concerned about that. But yet what matters most to God is that he would be able to change the life and the destiny of every single one of those people and bring them into a life lived with him and an eternity lived with him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so focused on my own comfort in those moments when I have an opportunity to share Jesus with other people. Like we spoke about before, those moments where our pride or our fear or our nervousness or our awkwardness overtakes us, and then what matters most to God doesn't seem to matter so much anymore. We're a bit like Jonah, where we are more concerned about the plant, the shade over our head, than what matters most to God, the salvation of people. And you know, I'm so glad that I'm a part of a church that is not insular, that's not focused in on itself, but is about others, that is about extending the love of Jesus Christ beyond the four walls that we're sitting inside today. That we're about a church about reaching those who are in our community and beyond our physical reach to see them hear that good news of Jesus Christ. And what is that good news? That good news is simply that every single person who lives and breathes, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, he wants to bring you into relationship with him. That through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they only need to believe and declare with their mouths that he is Lord and he will come into their hearts and restore them to relationship with him. How powerful is that? That God wants to do that for every single person. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we read Romans 10, Paul describes the people who would carry that good news to other people. And he describes it like this. In fact, we're going to back up to verse 13 of Romans 10. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of messengers that bring good news. Now, Paul's not saying here that you need to get a pedicure before you go out sharing the gospel. He's not saying, talking about literal feet, but he's using that word feet, I think, because he wants to speak about the activity, the motion, the progress that takes place when we share that gospel message, that it requires of us some action, that it requires of us some movement. This is what the good news looks like. That it's active, that it's out there, that it's touching the lives of people and it's having its way in them. And he uses this word beautiful, and it means more than just being physically attractive. It actually, when you look at the original Greek, it means something that is seasonable, something that is beautiful in its timing, something that is fruitful because it is fully developed. Because it is fully developed. You know, so often when we're in those moments where we have that opportunity to love on somebody and share the love of Jesus Christ with them, that we can want to retreat because we think, oh, timing's bad. It's not good time. Or what I'm about to bring, it's not going to do anything anyway. I can't bring it well or I can't talk about it well. But do you know what you have to share is fully developed? What you have to share is the full and complete gospel of Jesus Christ. That when he died and rose again, nothing was left untouched. No person is out of his reach. No person cannot be covered by what Jesus did in that time when he gave his life for them. And so what we bring as we carry that message of God to other people around us is something that is seasonable, that is timely, and that is fully developed and can fully have its way in that person's life. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? And you know, what matters most to God is that we step out of our temporal lives, of the things that only matter, the here and now, that are like that plant that grew but one day will die and pass away, that we become that those kinds of people that focus on the eternal significance of what we do, that as we bring the gospel message to those around us, that what takes place in their lives has more influence on them than just the here and now, but is something that is internally significant. We heard a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Ken Lee when he shared it to us about the spiritual significance of that takes place in what we do and we serve. That when we serve others, that there is so much more to it than what happens in that moment. But there's a spiritual significance of what we have done. And it is the same when we share the gospel message with other people. Their significance is eternal. It's something that will impact their eternity and generations to come. You know, I am so glad that the woman that used to pick up myself and my two sisters and take us to church when we were young, that she did that she kept her eyes fixed on the eternal significance and not the temporal, and that she took us again and again until my family was so profoundly impacted by that, that myself and my mom gave our lives to Jesus Christ, and the generations to come after us have been eternally changed because of that person stepping out into the eternal significance of what God desires to do. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. People cannot see. God sees. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's over it all. He sees it all, but we don't see it all. And so we don't understand every time that we have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with someone else, that it's simply a link in a chain. It's a chain of events. It's a chain of encounters that that person has had with God through other people or moments that they've had. And so what we are bringing is another link in that chain that we're adding to their encounter, that we're adding to their experience. We may not see them get saved in that moment. We may not see the eternal significance of what takes place, but we simply are obedient to follow and obey. In the lead up to the COVID lockdown, I remember going into the shop to buy a pair of shoes. And when I went into this shoe shop, I spoke to the sales assistant who served me there. In fact, I remember her name was Chloe. And when she served me, I just felt God whisper to my heart just to say something to her, or interact with her. So after I'd purchased my shoes, I just had a conversation with her and I introduced myself and I asked her how her day was going. And she began to share with me and got a bit teary because she was just doing her last shift in that job. She was casual and this was her only job, her only place or mode of employment. But because of the COVID situation, she was told that day that they were laying her off because they didn't have enough customers coming in. And when she finished her shift, she was going to walk down to the other end of Rockingham City Shops and go and put her name down at Coles. And she was a bit worried, concerned about what life was going to look like for her. And I had that opportunity in that moment to share with her that Jesus loved her and that he had her in his hands and I could pray with her. And you know what? She didn't give her life to Jesus in that moment. She didn't go, "Oh, wow, that really spoke to me today." She didn't make any comment like that. She just received it and then I blessed her and walked away. But who knows the eternal significance of that moment, that link in that chain. Who knows what she's experienced up to that point and what she will experience after, and that one day she will receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And all I did was just obey and I became the link in the chain. You know, we've got to know that what we do has eternal significance, that what matters most to God is that person's eternity, not our pride, not our fear, not our fear. And when we hear that whisper in our hearts from him, he's not saying to us, "I want you to step out and do this all by yourself." But it's actually a partnership with him, that he's going to take that moment. He's going to have his way, that he's going to do his work. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." We are partnering with him. When we hear that whisper in our heart and we step out to share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody else, we're not doing it on our own. He's right there. He's working with us. We're working with him to bring about his purpose, to bring about what matters most to him for that person. And what you've got to ask yourself is, God, why? Why would you choose to partner with me? Why would you choose to partner with me when so often when I hear that whisper in my heart, I'm just like, whoa, I can't do that right now. Why would you choose to partner with Jonah, who was so stubborn and rebellious and selfish and self-centered and didn't even get what God was trying to do? Why would you partner with someone like that? And we see it again and again, don't we, in Scripture, how God partnered with imperfect, flawed, broken people. People who made mistake after mistake. People who did astronomically bad things, but he chose to partner with them. He chooses to partner with people even though they're flawed, even though we're broken. He chooses to partner with you and I, even though we're broken, even though we're flawed. Again and again. And you know, today I just want to share with you from this account of Moses. We know that Moses was one of those imperfect people that God partnered with. That even simple things like asking him to strike a rock Moses chose not to do that and was disobedient to God, yet God continued to partner with him and work with him. And see, Moses, he was called by God at this incredible moment. We know it as the moment at the burning bush when God appeared to him in a bush that was on fire but not being burned up. And he called Moses to come and set the Israelite people free. And right then and there, Moses was like myself and like many of us, we choose to retreat when we hear God talk. And Moses was retreating. He wasn't physically retreating, but he was verbally retreating as he gave excuse after excuse after excuse about why he shouldn't be the person to go and do that, about why he shouldn't be the one to partner with God. And we're going to pick this up from Exodus 4:10, and it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who has made the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say.' But he said, 'Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Please don't send me, God. Send someone else.'" Even though God has come and debunked every excuse he's had, he's still not willing to go. Exodus 4:14, the conversation continues. "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, 'Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming over to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do.'" The reason I shared that account with you today is to point out the fact that God knew that Moses was the one with the lesser speaking ability. He knew it. He knew it. He knew that Aaron spoke better. He looked at Aaron and he looked at Moses, and he chose Moses to be the one to lead the Israelite people out of slavery. He chose Moses to be the one who stood before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," even though his speaking ability was of the lesser. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? When we look around at us and say, "God, why did you choose me and not them?" That's not our business. We just know that God chooses people, and it is our responsibility to respond, to partner with him. We're not doing it on our own. God said again and again to Moses, "I will be with you. I will give you the words to say. I will train you how to speak." That is simply what we need to do, is just respond to that call to partner with him. And in all our failings and in all our lack of ability, he will be there to have his way and to move powerfully through us in what matters most to him. Band, you can join me. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says this. It says, "We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives." That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. That's to prevent us or anyone from confusing God's incomparable power to us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.